This morning, we're going to continue with the armor of God, and we're going to use verses 13 through 15 today. I guess if I get in the right chapter, it works better. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when that the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This morning, as we kind of look at a few things about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, we find that this is not the first time in the Bible that we find this spiritual armor. In the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, beginning in the second half of verse 15, God breaks out and he uses the helmet of salvation and the belt of righteousness and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth. He uses those things in the analogy as he breaks forth to defend Israel and to overcome the evil which they had been participating in. Before we dive into the truth and the various facets about the truth, I want us to realize the context in which we are living. First of all, we are living our shadow life. This is not the ultimate end game for humanity. Your life, your future is endless. Whether you're good or bad, your future is endless. And when we leave the tent of this body, which a tent can be moved from place to place, it's temporary, signifying that there is no special place that we put down our roots. But in that, when we leave this tent of the body, the reason we know that this is our shadow life, because we will be changed into a different type of a body that will be forever. So this shadow life that we're doing it. We're also told that a lot of the struggles and the battles that we face in this life are not from this planet. They come to us by certain vehicles in the planet, whether they be people, principalities, powers, whatever they are. But most of these come from heavenly places, not the heaven where God resides, but in the area and the framework of that which is out there. And so when we engage our lives, when we try to navigate this life to gain eternal life, we have to realize that we're playing by some different rules. When we come to a place where there is no understanding of a different life, we're going to see a stark contrast in the behaviors of people. If I don't believe that when I die, that this is the end of my life, it doesn't matter how I live, does it? Because it's all over. But when we as Christians, through God's word and the truth of God's word, find out that we are going to be eternal beings somewhere, hopefully in heaven, because that's the promise that God gave us through Jesus Christ, that we are playing for that end game. That's our goal, to get to heaven. So if we are not playing in the rules of flesh and blood that we encounter every day in this life, in which we are trapped right now, things are going to be different. So how do we play in a world that is different than this world and yet is our prescribed place to be by God himself? How do we play by the rules that get us to that place and navigate this world? Well, I think, first of all, this is what God says, that we have to ground our lives in truth. Truth is the most valuable commodity in this world, because without truth, none of the other great things that happen in this world can happen. So as we think about truth, the truth in our relationships, Do we love each other? You know, almost every relationship that is true, that is wonderful, begins with an agape love. Maybe it's the other way around. I think it is the other way around. We have this physical attraction for one another. But you know, after you've lived with the same person for 70 years, 80 years, and I've known people that have lived with their spouses that long, 60, that's a lifetime. And you know, all the things that attracted you before, they've long since passed. And so the love that I see and I'm so encouraged with is that this love changes from this love of the attraction to this deep, heartfelt love that takes you places you never dreamed you would go when you stood at the altar and said, I do. And that is amazing to me. It is amazing to me to think that people will do the things that for other people that you thought, oh my goodness, I'll never do. I can't do that. But you do it. You do it. It's because there's a truth. There's a truth in the progression of a relationship. The same truth is true in our spiritual relationship with Jesus. What attracts us to Jesus? Because the scriptures plainly tell us that there's nothing attractive about Jesus' personal body. He wasn't attractive. He was repulsive. He was deemed vile and rejected by many because of who he was, what he said, and what he claimed about himself. But the words that Jesus spoke out of that idea of who he was, out of that scenario, he spoke truth, and his truth rings true to this very day. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. When Jesus speaks his words, they are truth. Jesus' sole desire for each and every one of us is to accomplish in this life the successful journey that will allow us to be in his presence forever. Would Jesus lie to us to get us there? No. If we believe, if we have faith in a place that exists that we have never seen, and we pattern our lives after that, or according to that, there is a truth that is evidenced by what we do with our behavior. So as we think about this journey of the unseen in the world that we do see, we know that our lives are going to be changed. So what about this thing about truth? In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, it says, God, show me how to navigate life. I'm paraphrasing drastically. But show me how to navigate life. Show me the truth of your word. Because if I know the truth of your word, then I am able to navigate this journey of life. Without truth, we have no foundation to go anywhere or to accomplish anything in our spiritual lives. It has to be bound in truth. The very definition of God that we find in the book of Psalms also, thy word, O Lord, is truth. God is invested not only in his word, but his word becomes his identity. His word is truth. God is truth. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then that mirrors and reflects the eternal God who created this whole world, who designed the plan to send Jesus to earth to be the sacrifice and the propitiation for each and every one of us. Truth leads to light. Light is understanding. The first thing that God created on planet Earth was, he said, let there be light. And somebody flipped a switch, and sure enough, there was light. And everybody said it was good. No, God said it was good. Because I don't think he was talking about light as we see light. Light is in a light bulb. Light is in the sun. I'm thinking he's talking about the truth and the intelligence of how this earth would function as God commanded it to function as he created it. Truth leads to light. When you have light, you know the way because you don't stumble over the furniture in the dark. I don't know, have any of you ever got up in the middle of the night and had to make that urgent call to the bathroom and you didn't have time to flip the switch? Have you ever found any obstacles in the way? Almost inevitably, we do. When we can't see, we run into things and they hurt. That is true in our spiritual lives as well. When we don't have the light of the gospel, the light of God's word in our lives, we're going to run into things in the darkness of life that are going to hurt us. In fact, they're not only going to hurt us, they're going to destroy us. You know the definition or the description of the personality of Satan? You know what it is? He's a liar. Ever had a conversation with a liar? You know who you're talking to when you have a conversation with a liar? Talking to the devil. Now, I'm not calling that person the devil, but he's certainly influenced by it. And you know what else he is? He's a murderer. Ever had any conversations with a murderer? Well, I kill chickens every now and then. Conversation with a murderer. I don't know that I've ever had one. But that's what Satan is all about. He's going to lie to you to kill you. It's important that we know the truth. Now, I was thinking about how all this, these things about truth. Where do we find absolute truth? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Now, I know what Bill's going to do. Yes, there is absolute truth because there is absolute truth. God's word is absolute truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is absolute light, and he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Spirit of truth testifies about this man that we know as Jesus, that as he walked this earth, this Spirit of truth that comes from the Father testifies about Jesus, testifies as to who the truth of this man Jesus, and it testifies as to the validity of the word of Jesus. It's true. You can bet your life on it, and you are betting your life on it. God's truth. The Spirit of truth, again, comes from God, the sole source of absolute truth in this world, comes from God, and it guides his children, those who believe in him, those who accept him, guides them into all truth. Now, I don't know about you, but my brain has not yet had the capacity to embrace all of truth. I'm kind of learning that as we go. That there are things, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, teaches us all about everything that we absolutely need to know to make this journey, this transition. You and I, as we said in this room, are sanctified. I like that word because it's a big word. We are sanctified, we are set apart, we are chosen, we are special now because of the truth, and God's word is truth. Any disagreement with what I've said so far? That God's word is absolute truth. Okay, guys, I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of us know everything? Now, some of us come pretty close, but we don't know everything, do we? We do not know everything. So how is it that we grow up in truth? I used to get mad at the preachers and the Sunday school teachers when I was a kid because they kept hammering this home. Go to church camp. What do they tell? It's the same old thing. You have to be in God's word. You have to be in the truth to know the truth. And as I have grown and as I understand and I have learned a couple of things along the way, that without being in God's word, I will not know the truth. Because truth as I know it will be very subjective and will yield and bend itself to the will that I have for truth. My truth, your truth, this truth, There's only one truth in the world. And it all flies against, you know, all the people's ideas. You know, we see it in Washington. We see it in our communities. We see it in our churches, that everybody has an idea of what truth is. But God's idea of what truth is the reality of what truth is. And we can stake our life on it. Doesn't mean that we can't disagree about things. That doesn't mean that at all. And we will. It doesn't mean that we can not go some places that other people can go. Doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean, that if we are on this trajectory, if we are on this journey to get to heaven, that there's only one book that helps us get there. I can't tell you how many thousands of books have been written about this book that either correctly or incorrectly define what's in this book. But it tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. And if you believe, as I believe, that this word is the absolute inspired word of God, that truth in that book, guided by the Holy Spirit, we don't need 1,000 other books to define what's in this book. Let's read this book and see what it actually says. We were talking about it in Sunday school class this morning. We have watered down the truth so that we don't hurt your feelings. It has never been my intent to hurt anyone's feelings. I better be careful there. But in the church relationship, it has never been my intent to hurt anybody's feelings. Twice in my life, people have got up and walked out in the middle of the sermon because they disagreed with what I said. I'm not saying I was right. I'm just saying they got up and walked out. But every time that I prepare a sermon, I don't just throw a bunch of stuff together. It may sound like it to you, but I don't. I try to put it together in an order so that I can present it as God wants us to present it. And quite honestly, friends, sometimes the absolute truth of the Word of God offends people. It has offended me before because I have had to change my lifestyle because of God's Word. And my fear is that we are so ingrained in what we have learned in our youth, in our younger years at home, and I'm not knocking any of that stuff because that's important, it's a foundation, that we cannot break through what we have already been taught. When God's Word is not like that, is it? He doesn't dump the whole load all at once, does he? We gain it and absorb it as we can handle it, as God gives it to us. Without being in God's Word, it will be impossible to understand the truth of this journey. We will not understand what God is asking of us, let alone what Satan is trying to do to us. As we travel and as we navigate, the one great objective for all of us and my great desire for each and every one of you, and it's my sole desire for myself, is that someday in heaven, we'll all be there together and we can do all the things that we always wished we could do in worship of God. What a day that will be. They wrote a song about that. What a day that will be. What is righteousness then? Righteousness is absent without truth. What is righteousness? I've heard it described as being right with God. If we're talking about spiritual righteousness, being right with God. How can we be right with God if we do not know what God wants? Because I'm not as smart as God. Righteousness is the behavior of those responding to the truth of God's word. That is how they live out the truth that they believe. It may not be popular in this world. It may not be popular among maybe our friends. It may not be popular in every arena that we go. But it is the one thing that God requires of all of those who love him and are destined to be in heaven with him. righteousness is beneficial to the Christian. In Proverbs, it says, righteousness gives us life, gives us prosperity, and it gives us honor. Now, I thought about those two things. I've known a lot of preachers, especially years ago, and churches have come a long way in taking care of their pastors. You guys take care of us magnificently. But I thought about the prosperity part. And you know what came to my mind when I think about prosperity? It's the thing the world thinks about when we talk about prosperity. We're talking about finance. We're talking about money. That's not what he's talking about here at all. If I have life, I have that home in heaven forever, and I have prosperity, it means I'm going to be rich in honoring God with my life in responding to the truth that he's given to me. There is going to be an outflow of this wealth that is inside me because Jesus and his Holy Spirit lives within me. And it's going to bring me honor in the right places. How many times do we allow ourselves to be manipulated into being something that we're not in order to please someone else? If in this journey of life we're trying to please the world, then we can't please God. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You'll either love one or hate the other. Can't serve God or money. You can't do it both. And by money, mammon, it's not maybe talking about finance or money so much, but he's talking about those things that bring you accumulation. But honor. Honor from the right place is as valuable as much gold as you can haul away. Because honor from God, because you are obedient to God, that's the highest honor that you can receive. Charlie Kirk this last week just received the Medal of Freedom or what, I can't remember what it is. But he received the highest honor that a civilian can have. That's a great honor. But that's junk compared to the honor that we receive from God by being his children and being obedient to the truth. And that living and that mindset is righteousness in our thinking. Righteousness breaks out against the wicked. When's the last time we ever took a stand against somebody that was saying something that wasn't true, that was wicked, that was going to hurt people? When's the last time we took a stand? We sat quietly, safely in our church and said, we don't believe in abortion. Well, outside of the church, where have you spoken about that? What conversation have you had with any? And I'm looking at me too. I'm looking at me too. When have we ever had those conversations? When have we ever, outside of the church, spoken against the abuse of children outside of these walls? When we're speaking to those who abuse children by program, by physical violence, by all these things, when have we ever had a conversation? When have we ever stood outside of this safe place to have that conversation? Righteousness breaks out against the wicked. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these things, and this is the truth, the foundation of one who believes the truth and has patterned his life after truth. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That can stand alone, can't it? When we identify God as to who he truly is in our lives, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the heavenly accomplishment that we can do, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And in the earth that we live, the planet that we walk in for the days that we have upon this earth, and all these things will be given to you as well. And he's talked about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? What am I going to put on? You know, last time I went to my closet, the question was, what am I going to wear? But I had too many decisions to make. And you know, I have no idea about coordination and collar. None at all. In fact, I have to get approved every Sunday before I walk out of the house so that I'm halfway presentable. And that's the truth, isn't it? I have no idea. If I'm covered, I'm good to go. But if we seek first his kingdom, we put on that robe of righteousness that may be unappealing to those around us, may look dull and mundane. But it is the robe that he says that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was arrayed like one of these. Because this is a heavenly spiritual assignment of the gift of God. Friends, we're never going anywhere without truth. And we're not going to be a witness without living the truth called righteousness. So as we live our lives in the challenges that we face every day, let us be forward thinking. Thinking that this is just a temporary place and that all these struggles and trials that we go through are temporary, painful in the moment maybe, sad, whatever it is. But we're looking for a city like Abraham was looking for that wasn't built with hands, but was built by God. Truth is indispensable in our relationship with God. Living truth, righteousness, is indispensable in our relationship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for just one more time we can share together. And Father, today, I thank you for my family here. Probably one of the greatest blessings that you have ever given to me and my wife, Jo, because we're a team. And Father, how you have moved and built powerful feelings of care and concern for people before we came here we never even knew, except for one or two. But Father, I thank you that you've given us all the playbook, given us the words of the game, and given us the theater to live it out. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.